Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News. As I'm sure we're all aware, the Bulkley Valley and Lakes District have long-standing agricultural roots in the region. From Hazelton to Vanderhoof, the Valley Corridor is covered in ranches, hayfields, and farmlands. That's why this past season's Level 5 drought, the worst the region has seen in a generation, hit farmers and ranchers hard. As we reported earlier this fall, many have had to sell off parts of their herds or, in some cases, sell off their entire farms to recover losses. Drought, wildfires, and other climate-induced pressures are taking its toll on every agricultural region in the province and indeed the country. That's why the BC Ministry of Agriculture is hosting a series of forums to engage communities about the Regional Extension Program. It's a five-year producer-focused research program launched in April 2023 to help increase on-farm adaptation and beneficial management practices to make their farms and ranches more sustainable, economically viable, and climate resilient. The researchers will work with ranchers and farmers to identify soil health, water supply, reducing impacts of extreme temperatures, and grassland habitat management, just to name a few. Labor shortages, climate instability, drought, infestations are all pressures producers are having to deal with more and more with greater uncertainty than ever before. That's why communities need to start adapting now. Eugene Witter of W. Diamond Ranch knows the ever-changing realities of working the land and raising cattle. He's seen the many changes over the years and is working to insulate the ranch and indeed our local food systems from the challenges that are coming in the wake of climate change and economic and social uncertainty. I caught up with him at Round Lake Hall during the unveiling of the Regional Extension Program. But first, Mark Raymond is an executive director for the BC Ministry of Agriculture and Lands. We spoke about the urgency of the program and what the ministry is hearing from farmers and ranchers across the province. Stay with us.
Mark Raymond, I'm an executive director with BC Ministry of Agriculture and Lands based out of Abbotsford.
Thanks, Mark, and so much for being here in the region at Round Lake Hall. Obviously, this is an agricultural hub in the region here, in the Bulkley Valley, as well as east of us and west of us. There are farms all over this area, so agriculture is part of the roots of this place.
Definitely.
But maybe tell me firstly a little bit about some of your other work. It's been a bit of a trying year for us in the Skeena Bulkley Valley here. We've had a level 5 drought for most of the season, but you kind of have a higher level picture of what's going on in the province, and you mentioned you got quite a few of these workshops that are coming up. Maybe tell me a little bit about this program and what you guys are trying to bring attention to.
For sure. So this is the ministry's regional extension program, and really trying to take a regional approach at working with producers to try new practices and technologies at a regional level so it is impactful to producers at a local scale, to really just try and make improvements, do a better job farming. You're right, it has been a really trying year with drought through most areas of the province, just not here in the Smithers area. And you know, one of the areas that we're looking at trying to put greater focus on is water management. So whether that is water storage, you know, through the winter months into the spring, or whether that is irrigation improvements or soil management to retain, conserve soil moisture to help with crop growth.
You mentioned a couple of them there, but you have five themes here that were basically voted on or identified by producers and farmers that are of high importance to everyone, not just ranchers, not just farmers or vegetable farmers, but to everyone. Maybe tell me a little bit about what those themes are and why they're so important.
Yeah, so with the regional approach that we're taking, we're trying to hold approximately 20 engagement sessions throughout the province and really wanting to focus in on what is important to producers in those regions. So our regional agrologist, John Stevenson, worked with a number of producers to try and identify the themes that they wanted to focus on to try and put more focus on extension. So he worked with approximately a dozen local producers from the Smithers Telqua area here and came up with those themes in advance, really just to help try and sort of have some more directed conversations so that we're able to actually get to implementable ideas or projects going forward. So I mentioned water storage and development is one. We've got grazing management. We've got crop selection. So crop selection, looking at new and changing crops with climate adaptation, as far as, you know, drier summers per se. We've got soil management, soil health management. So again, looking at increasing that organic matter, which ties to that moisture retention, increased yields. And then we've got nutrient management practices, which is again, is adjacent to soil health, but helps with production, manure management, commercial fertilizer management, tying that sort of nutrient cycling into soil health, into regenerative agriculture. So that sort of holistic approach there.
Why were these workshops identified as, you know, needing to happen? What are you trying to bring attention to? What are you hearing also from other regions where you are going to be hosting these as well?
Sure. So Ministry of Agriculture over the last 8 or 9 years has what we had a program called the Regional Climate Adaptation Program. And the program itself was really focused a lot on studies to get baselines of how climate adaptation was impacting the regions, and we wanted to sort of evolve that to take it beyond studies, to take it to something that was maybe more impactful on the ground to producers. So taking it to field demonstrations or that on-farm outreach and education to make it more on the ground. So take it from the study side to actual making, showcasing what can be done on the farm to make it more real and impactful.
I think I was here for that adaptation workshop, and that was one of the things that interested me about this, is that, you know, we have a lot of different regions, agriculture regions in the province, and they're not all alike, and they all need their own kind of plans. I guess the last thing I'll ask you for is, you know, generally speaking, what are you seeing and what are you hearing from other regions, other ranchers and farmers from across the province of what they're dealing with? And I'm assuming that a lot of these similar themes are lining up together.
Most definitely. You know, this year it's drought all across, water management of what we can do to improve that. So again, it just goes back to the storage and soil health to try and help be more resilient on the ground in the event that we do continue to see more and more of these hotter, drier, drought conditions.
That was Mark Raymond from the BC Ministry of Agriculture. Coming up next, my conversation with Eugene Witter from W. Diamond Ranch.
Yeah, my name is Eugene Witter. I'm a part owner of W. Diamond Ranch. Live right here in Telqua for a little while. When I grow up one day, I may know what I want to be.
That's great, Eugene, great. You know, I've had many conversations about the agricultural issues, let's say, of our region here, of the Bulkley Valley, with Manfred. And so I'm well acquainted with your farm and the ranch and all the work that you guys do. And you do a lot. You know, we were talking about it earlier there. Maybe tell me a little bit about how this season went, because we did see a level 5 drought. You know, it was very dry in the valley. A lot of hay crops, you know, didn't turn out so well. But maybe give me a little rundown about how your season went so far.
So this season was really stressful because we have started minimizing of how much hay we harvest on our own farm, because for different reasons we started buying hay for the last few years, and suddenly all the suppliers I had no hay available. So it became my own yield on my hay field was about 15% of my usual. So we had to make some tough decisions. We had to, on that front, we had to ship some animals away to the auction so we can manage, you know, find the hay. So that's, you know, the really stressful part. On the other hand, through our management of regenerative agriculture over the last, I would say, on pasture management, probably the last 15, 18 years, we never had to worry about not having enough grass for the summertime. The management has really paid off this year, like it's the way we do things. We always had enough forage available for pasturing, just not the hay fields that really, you know, didn't perform well. And there's definitely issues we're going to be looking into it, how we can improve and actually drought-proof our own fields to make that better for other seasons. So, yeah.
You were mentioning, just, you know, touching on that, because this is part of what, you know, a lot of the situation that we're seeing, this issue came up. You know, we're chopping down forests to create pastures, but you were talking about earlier that you're finding that some of the foraging that that the cows are able to get out that are within the trees are able to keep water and still grow and it's available to those cows. And so they're foraging kind of in a, you know, in a treed area, but they're still being able to forage. Tell me a little about some of these practices that you guys have put into place that clearly helped you out this year.
Yeah, so it is definitely like it works really well for us in poplar stands. It's not so good, not nearly as good in pine stands, but in poplar stands it was really good, like where we had some, you know, different sizes of poplars, all kinds of stages, and yeah, the grass was twice as high as it than it was in the rest of the pasture under these areas. And I feel it is because we have a healthy mycorrhizal fungi in the soil, like a healthy soil, undisturbed soil in these areas, that definitely has made a big impact. And it is, you know, been kind of after forestry for a long time. One of the less trees planted on our range, you know, so we can have more grass available so we can manage better. And because grass, actually well-managed grasslands, there is some data out there now that actually says a well-managed grassland will sequester about 3 times more carbon than a forest will. And it's renewed, like it's every year. You just don't disturb the soil after, otherwise you release it again. But if in an undisturbed soil, it would be a really good carbon sink. So it's, and you know, it has to do with what we're trying to achieve is increase our soil organic matter. Data shows if we can increase soil organic matter by 1 percentage point, 1 acre of land will hold about an extra 25,000 gallons of water. Like it becomes like a sponge. It will actually hold it. It doesn't run off, and it will actually help us drought-proof. And I think that's what we really seen in these silvo pasture stands, like with the trees, the healthy mix of trees and grass. That's what we really seen this year, the benefits of having the soil organic matter there. So,
obviously, it sounds like you guys, as you mentioned, had a stressful year having to sell off some of the herd, you know, but you guys have been doing this quite a long time. You've worked out some of these issues that you're able to manage as well as you have, but a lot of ranchers, a lot of farmers don't do that as well as you guys. What else have you been hearing? What are some of the other stories you've been hearing from, you know, other ranchers that you know of, neighbors who may have struggled a little bit more?
There's lots of stories out there. Like there is, you know, you look. You can go on the BC Livestock website and you can look who is shipping what, you know, who is booking in animals. And yeah, you see farmers suddenly selling off 30 cows or more. I've seen the guys selling off 100 cows out of their herd. I've seen guys selling all of them, just making the call of this is it. Like it's we're quitting, it's done. It's and yeah, it is big issue. Like, yeah, it's, livestock prices in the auctions are really good this year, but it's not really benefiting the farmer because he's got to spend most of that money on purchasing feed for the animals he's keeping. So it makes it really tough for farmers. It's like the other stories out there, everybody has their own, like, yeah, you know, I hear as low as hay yield was somewhere from 10 to 15% or 20%, some people in the area. So, yep, and can't expect much better next year, so.
We'll get to that in a sec, you know, what comes next. But, you know, this form in particular, and I know that MP Taylor Bacharach brought this issue up several times in Ottawa. So clearly, you know, people are trying to bring attention to this. But why did you want to come to this forum this evening? And what were you hoping to take away from this, knowing that, you know, this isn't an easy solution?
So tonight, this, especially this meeting, I didn't really expect it to take much away from this. This is kind of looking down the road for the next 4 years. And I'm not a big fan of bringing in information or speakers that talk from different things. My thing is I try to influence this so we can actually take local expertise, start looking at what has worked locally and spread that to the farming community. Like what works here in Smithers not necessarily works the same way in Vanderhoof. And that's sometimes the problem with these ministry projects. It has to fit everywhere. So I'm hope that's kind of my goal, is talking to the ministry staff to kind of hear his ideas. Can we keep it local? This has worked for me. This has worked for, you know, bring in experiences from local farmers. You know, I always say every farmer has a part of the farm where things work out really, really good. And I've just telling John about that. We should have actually visit the farmers and actually show them, see, this is what works well. You know, this is, what have you done here? You know, what are you doing here? Why is it working so well? And start building that out. It's with fixing soil health and things like that. Don't concentrate at your problem area. Concentrate on your really good functioning area and grow it out from there. Take care of the really good stuff and it will grow out.
On that note, sounds like you guys are doing some good things. You'd mentioned earlier that there was some reluctance to kind of get into the generative agricultural side of things, but it seems to have worked out. What comes next? You know, you mentioned that having to adapt to some of these issues, to drought, which we can expect for the next few years at least. What's kind of the plan next year to insulate yourselves from some of these issues that you did experience this year?
Definitely enhance. You know, we now seen how the grazing has worked, the management on that has worked well, and keep enhancing that, keep on working on that. And yep, we'll be looking at some no-till seeding, see how I can improve, you know, what can I seed, what is a little bit more drought resistance. I'm trying to figure out a little bit of native grasses here, you know, kind of trying to figure out what would have been growing here 300 or 400 years ago in our grass meadows, you know, kind of. Native grasses are usually a little bit more drought resistant. You know, they kind of handle these things. And I think this year our area has been really cut, you know, hit hard because our grasses haven't been really stressed. Like we've been here quite a while and we had some drier years, but never as bad as we experienced this year. And I think because of the frost last winter without snow, then in the spring, in the winter, the frost didn't come out. The snow that we had ran off because it couldn't infiltrate because the ground was still frozen, and then we didn't get rain. So the grass never had really experienced that, so it kind of went into shock. And as we ex- grasses will start adapt to that slowly. It's not going to fix itself in 1 to 2 years, but grasses that now have experienced that a little bit, if it comes back like that in 20 years and we haven't disturbed it, these grasses probably going to remember it and won't be quite as bad for them. That's at least my take of the soil science. So,
just the last thing for you, Eugene. You know, you and your brother have been doing this a long time in the valley. You're a bit, W Diamond Ranch is a bit synonymous with, you know, cattle ranching in the valley here nowadays. And you guys have done a lot of really great, interesting things. But going forward, obviously things are getting more difficult, but it sounds like there's some hope at the end of the road. You know, you talk about this stuff with a big smile, which I really appreciate. What is your hope for the years going forward and just the cattle and farming industry here in the Bulkley Valley? It's a hub, and we don't necessarily treat it that way. So what's your hope going forward?
That we really can get engaged the young people, to get them to see that there is a future in being a meat cutter, in being a farmer, and actually staying local, and actually being able to see, hey, I can make a living here. You know, like, yeah, right now for me, we need meat cutters. You know, come and see us. We'll teach you. Like, if you're interested, we'll help you. We'll teach you how it's done. We'll help you to get started your own business one day. So that's kind of my hope. Like, I feel the globalization is not going to be the answer. We have to produce our food locally. And yeah, there will be times we're probably not going to be eating strawberries anymore in January. But the ones from here in July taste really good.
So,
well, yeah, you can freeze them then. So, but no, it's things like that. Like, we have to develop that a little bit. Teach again people how to store food. I know freezing is real easy, but it's not the only answer. We can do it differently. You know, we should be able to store food without having to freeze it. Like, let's go back to canning. Let's do some fermented foods. It would be really good for our gut health. You know, all these things. We have to go back to that. And if, you know, to a real healthy human, it's, we say it this way, healthy soil, healthy plant, healthy animals, healthy people.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.